And he said unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. These are the words of the Lord Jesus, dear friend. We find them in Luke chapter 14, at the heading of the parable of the Great Supper. We desire today to set forth again some of the riches of the love in Christ Jesus, the provision that God has made for needy man, and that this provision is for all men, we trust you will see, whosoever will may come, just as the Lord said here, Come, for all things are now ready. That which gave occasion for the parable is related to us in the first part of this chapter. The Lord Jesus was in the house of one of the chief of the Pharisees, and apparently there were quite a number gathered together to this feast that this Pharisee had called. But as the Lord was there, he sees two things which distress him, though he knew very well, but which he desired to point out, that certainly, very surely, and clearly showed man's need of a gospel supper. Here is the supper of the world, and we see what characterizes it in the way the guests are acting and in the motive for which the host had called the feast. Now, the Lord alone can read motives, and he did. But you notice, first of all, as he looks around in the room, he sees that the guests were seeking to get the highest places or the best seats in the room. How characteristic of man's heart. He wants things for himself. He desires in his pride to have the preeminence. This is one of the obnoxious weeds of the human heart. And he meets this with his word of wisdom when he says, When thou art bidden, go and sit in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, Friend, go up higher. This would certainly be far better than if you take the higher room and then the master comes in and says, You're in a too high place, you better get down to that lower place. The Lord would save us from that. For he says, Whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased. This is a sure word, a truth of God. But whosoever humbleth himself shall be exalted. Remember that. And this he would press upon them and upon us too. Then he turns his gaze to the host. And he sees that the guests invited are those who could repay him. They were his kinsmen, his friends, his brethren, and his rich neighbors. Oh, he said, when you make a feast, call rather the poor and the maimed, the lame and the blind. And if you do that, thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee. But thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. It is the Lord's desire that men should look into eternity. They should not just simply act and think in regards to time. And certainly that is true today. And God would set before us that which has eternal value to it. No, dear friend, I trust that the message today from God's Word, these moments with the book, will be the means of turning you to think of eternal realities and to avail yourself of God's provision as set forth in this parable of the Great Supper. The Great Supper is great for many reasons. First of all, it's great because of the one who made it. The Lord Jesus intends to bring you in touch with God himself. He is the one mediator between God and man. And God, who created man, who upholds man, who created the universes, the one who has in his own self caused man to be here on earth, is the one who has provided for man's need. He's the one against whom man has sinned. But yet his great grace, his great mercy, His great love, His great goodness, has gone out to us in spite, yea, because of our sins, and it has only declared Him as the great God and Savior. It's a great supper, too, because of the number that are invited, the multitudes that it feeds. Whosoever will. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever. It is not limited just to a certain few, to a certain class, a certain race. It is for all men. You are among that whosoever, if you will claim Him and come acknowledging your need. Whosoever means you, it means me, it means anybody who wants to. And Jesus said, come, for all things are now ready. What has provided it? It has been provided at a great price. The supper is great because of the price that was paid. The price that was paid was nothing less than the death of the Son of God, the shedding of the blood of the innocent, holy victim for sin. It wasn't His sacrifice in coming to the manger that paid the price. This was the first step to it. His sorrow in His lifetime lived here was a great price to pay, but that did not make redemption. His weeping in the Garden of Gethsemane in anticipation of the cross, His sweating, as it were, great drops of blood, that did not provide for salvation. It was on the way to it. But that which has paid the price, and that which has alone paid the price, was His death, the shedding of His blood, when He, as the sin-bearer, was forsaken by God at Calvary, and He died, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. That has prepared the supper. That has spread the table with eternal verities. Aren't you longing to have something real? Don't you want substance? Don't you want that which will not pass away? There is on this table spread the dish of forgiveness. Don't you long to be forgiven of your sins? You may have it in Christ. There is the dish of peace. Don't you long to have peace in this world of turmoil? Don't you long to have life? There's life. There's eternal life. All for your coming to the table in response to the invitation. Jesus gives life, He gives peace, He gives forgiveness. It's there, but you must come. Come, all things are now ready. But you notice, in response to the invitation given in the parable, we have this remark made by the Lord. They all with one consent began to make excuse. How like man today. He always has an excuse. And the excuses in each case were very foolish. They were absolutely just saying, I don't want to come. This first man said, I bought a piece of ground and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. He was very polite about it, just as people today would be polite perhaps in refusing Christ and the gospel and say, no. You ask them to come to a gospel meeting, for instance, and they, no, I just can't come. Whereas really, they didn't want to come. The other said, I bought a 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. In each case, how foolish to buy something before you see it. How foolish to buy oxen before you prove it. But even so, certainly if you bought a piece of ground, it would be there on the morrow, would it not? And the oxen certainly wouldn't be any weaker on the morrow than today. You see, the excuses are just what they are called, excuses. They are not sound reasons at all. And certainly the man who had married a wife could have come and brought his wife and shared the joy with her. But you notice, they are just simply excuses. This has been true, however, in man's history from the beginning, has it not? He's allowed things of time. Oxen, or ground, or the enjoyments of life, relationship, to hinder him from eternal blessing. Esau would rather have a mess of pottage than his birthright. There were those in the Lord's day when the Lord performed a miracle of casting demons out of a man, 2,000 swine they lost. They bemoaned that fact, and they asked the Lord to leave their coast. They would rather have the swine than the Lord. Judas was no better. For 30 pieces of silver, he betrayed his Lord. What are you selling the Lord for, selling your soul for? Is it a little pleasure, a little wealth, position here, something that would cater to your pride, something that is because of your selfishness? Ah, dear friend, whatever it is, God grant that you will judge it today. If they are keeping you from the gospel supper, you are simply settling for that which is temporal. God wants you to have that which is eternal. You are after that which is natural. God wants you to have that which is spiritual. He wants you to have salvation, and it is found in what He has provided on the gospel table. Well, the servant came and showed the Lord these things. And you know, the anger of the master of the house is aroused. And you know, God is a God of love, a God of grace, but I want to remind you that He is also a God who is angry at sin. And you know of any greater sin, any greater injustice that is done than a man to refuse God's goodness, the invitation that He's given? Oh, God is angry with the wicked every day. You may have His anger turned from you, however. And oh, the Spirit of God has been sent into the world to do just that. I believe that He is pictured here in the servant. The servant is told to go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city. God's going to have His house filled. Grace and the flow of grace to mankind is not going to be stopped by the refusal on the part of some. If you refuse God's grace, God is still going to see that others accept it. His house is going to be filled. Your concern should be that you are there in the house. But you know, every one of us is shut up to God's grace. We owe all that we are to God's sovereign grace. None of us would by nature have come, of our own desire have responded to the invitation. No. But the Spirit of God has been sent into the world to convict us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He longs to cause us to see our need, that we are spiritually destitute. He wants to bring us to the point where we realize that we want something that's eternal. We want something that's real and true, and we can have it only in Christ. And so the poor, the maimed, and the halt, and the blind are those that are brought into the house. Have you seen yourself as a poor, blind, maimed, and halt sinner? This is what we are by nature, what sin has caused us to be. The owning of it before God will allow the Spirit of God to bring us into the house to be satisfied. But you notice, it says here, the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded. Yes, there have been many. Many have responded. I thank God that many years ago, the Lord wrought in my heart and made me feel my need and brought me to Christ. But yet there is room. Still, at this very moment, there is room. There's room in the house of God for you. Some guest is going to be the last. The day of grace is going to soon come to a close, and no longer will it be said, yet there is room. But today, there is still room. The word today is still come, for all things are now ready. And the Lord said to His servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. Oh, God desires that you should come. I don't know what's going to take to compel you to come in, but God knows, and He has ways. He says, go to the highways. Perhaps you're out there in the busy activity of life, in the highway of life. God knows how to speak to you. I trust that He will, and that He will compel you to see your need in some way, to come before it is too late. You may be in the hedges, hiding away. Maybe you're in fear. Is the fear of what's going on all around us striking your heart today? Men's hearts failing them for fear? Oh, there is salvation. There is deliverance from fear. You are crowded in by doubts. Let the Word of God solve all that. There is salvation. There is blessing for you. Allow the Spirit of God to compel you to come in. And how will He do it? He compels us to come in through the message of the gospel. It's the Spirit of God's delight to tell us of Christ and what He has done and who He is. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one that came to save you. He came and gave His life that you might be brought to this supper and have your needs all met. You don't deserve it? No, but that's grace. And we're saved by grace through faith. And that not of ourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. But you know, the Lord Jesus here in this parable reminds us that there is a solemn thing to consider. There's a warning given to those who are bidden and do not come. And notice this. He says, none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. That's final. You cannot trifle with the grace of God and not suffer the consequences. Those that refuse to come will be shut out from His presence forever. There will be no more opportunity to avail yourself to satisfy the hunger of your soul in a darkened eternity away from God. The rich man in the 16th of Luke, he asked for even one drop of water. It was denied him. You will have eternal misery, eternal hunger, eternal thirst if you don't come in time. Oh God, grant that you will come in time. Come, for all things are now ready. The Spirit of God would, through the word of the Lord Jesus, softly and tenderly appeal to you to come to Him today. How do you come? Coming, dear friend, is simply believing. Believing what? Believing on Him. Believing that you have a need which He alone can meet and He longs to meet. You can come right now. And He does say, come, for all things are now ready. Be sure you come now. The only alternative to now is never. Think of it. It may be now or never, not tomorrow, but now. Come now while He softly and tenderly calls for you.